Work on the Brent Spence Bridge Corridor project has begun, as evidenced by a couple interstate closures earlier this month. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to give us an update on the project and explain what we can expect in the months and years ahead are Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Project Manager Stacy Hands and Ohio Department of Transportation Project Manager Tommy Arnold. Thanks so much for being here, Stacy and Tommy.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you here. So, Stacy, the Brent Spence Bridge Corridor project is about way more than the bridge. Remind us what's involved, the total budget, just how big this whole thing is.
Yes, you're right. And I think the name is a little misleading, right? The Brent Spence Bridge Project. But we like to throw the word corridor in there to highlight that it is a corridor project. When you're looking at both ends of the project, it's approximately 8 miles, 3 miles on the Ohio side, 5 miles on the Kentucky side. And it's not just a companion bridge. We are rehabilitating the existing Brent Spence Bridge to also add capacity. As part of that project, we're looking at improvements to the cross streets on all of within that entirety of the corridor. So on the Kentucky side, that includes Dixie Highway, Kyle's Lane on our side, as well as all the Covington exits. And then for the Ohio side, I'll let Tommy explain that a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it during this conversation, which again, thanks for the chance to talk about the project. As Stacy said, it's an 8 mile corridor. And when we get into Ohio, we have that interchange with downtown and Fort Washington Way, and every connection from Fort Washington Way to the existing bridge will be rebuilt and reconnected. And we're adding that new companion bridge. So we're also adding new connections as well. And even with all that, we're able to shrink the project footprint downtown and create almost 11 acres or about 11 acres of potential area for redevelopment next to the convention center downtown Cincinnati. So it's a lot more than just the bridge. It's a corridor improvement that really reconnects the communities on both sides of the interstate. The project in Ohio continues further up to tie into the Western Hills Viaduct. And if Brent Spence wasn't happening right now, the Western Hills Viaduct would be what we'd be here talking about, and we still are. It's a mega project, be one of the biggest projects in the state, in the state's history as well. So two huge projects happening at the same time.
Wow. Right. And I think if we go back to talking about the bridge itself, I think it's important to highlight, you know, we mentioned the companion bridge, which will be the bridge that carries the interstate traffic. And then the existing Brent Spence Bridge will carry local traffic. So traffic with an origin or a starting point or an ending point in Covington or Cincinnati. That really highlights the safety aspect of the project by pulling that through traffic off and allowing the local traffic their own maneuver and their own opportunity, you know, to get to and from where they want to go. So really focusing on our local component of the project.
Yeah. And what's the total cost of all this? It's a lot. It's a big project.
It's a big project, yes. And we are phasing this project in. Mm-hmm. So this is just how we have done all of our major projects, mega projects across both states, mm-hmm. really. So we were really excited to announce here recently that sort of the major piece or central piece of the project is moving forward. That scope of work will build the new companion bridge, build 1 mile in Covington in northern Kentucky and the approaches there, and then the work within a mile in Cincinnati, all of those connections to Fort Washington Way and across the interstate. All of that work is about $4.05 billion for construction. So it is a huge project and something that the community and our cities have both been looking for a long time. So we're excited to be moving forward with it.
Yeah. And then the funding is secured for this. I know that was a question I told you before we started. I think I've been reporting on this project for 20 years plus. So that was a conversation for a long time.
Well, we're really fortunate to have a federal grant, two federal grants actually, to help move this project forward. And then states of Ohio and, of course, Kentucky Commonwealth are coming in with a lot of funding as well to make sure these projects are moving forward.
Yeah, and no tolls.
Oh, key point, no yes, tolls. Thank Absolutely. You. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, yeah, no
yeah,
tolls.
Yeah. Well, this has been in the works for years and years. What makes this such a complicated project to plan, Stacy? Is it because it's so long and you're dealing with two states and a river and all the, I mean, it just seems really complicated.
Right. And I think you hit on a lot of the key points that we're talking about. Obviously, it's a bi-state project. So not only are we working with Kentucky, within the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, but with our partners at ODOT and our federal partners through FHWA, But like you said, it's a complex project because it's in an ultra urban area. You know, we are trying to build as much as possible within the existing footprint to minimize any impacts that we have to the neighborhoods. One of the key components of our project that both of our leadership with at ODOT and KYTC has charged the project team with is being good neighbors or leaving the community better than we found it, which is a little bit different than how we would have done things decades ago, right? So it's taking this opportunity to look at not just the 7175, the major interstate corridor, but also some of the cross connectivity. I know on the Kentucky side in the Covington area, we're looking at opportunities maybe along 9th Street to reestablish the connections between like the Lewisburg neighborhood and Goble Park. Some things up in the 4th Street and 5th Street area in Covington as well really enhance the pedestrian, the multimodal, the pedestrian and the bicycles. And you don't really think about that when you're thinking about an interstate corridor project. So I think, like I said, it's just the complexity of it. And I joke that on the Ohio side, or excuse me, on the Kentucky side, our connections and our interchanges are much simpler than on the Ohio side. So I'll let Tommy talk about some of the complexity of the Ohio side.
As soon as you said the words Fort Washington Way, my brain exploded.
That's not good.
No, that is complicated.
Well, and I grew up here in Cincinnati and have lived here my whole life, except just a couple of years. I went to college up in Dayton, University of Dayton. And I still get, you know, when I first started working down in the project area, it's still confusing to get around some of the connections there between Queensgate and Cincinnati. And we're going to greatly simplify that and improve it. So it's going to look and feel like a local street, which it is. You know, we're improving the connections from downtown over to the Queensgate and West End area with a new intersection at 8th and 9th and Guest Street, an improved intersection at 7th and Guest, a new connection at 6th and Guest. And then we've designed 5th Street so that it could be extended in the future because this is a long-term project. The existing Brent Spence has been around since 1963, and we're going to be rehabbing it. As Stacy said, it's got a lot of years to go, decades to go. And this new bridge we're building has a 100-year service life. So we want to make sure we're setting up these investments to address the problems we have now, but also give us flexibility for the future because nobody can know what's going to be happening in those future distant years.
Sure. Well, we are talking about the Brent Spence Bridge Corridor Project and what to expect in the months and years ahead. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. You know, Tommy, you were just talking about it's hard to know what to expect when you're trying to look in the crystal ball years or decades ahead. We got an email from Nicholas who writes, is there room for light rail on the Brent Spence Bridge? It would be a great move to get people to and from downtown and the Cincinnati Airport in Northern Kentucky. So I know this is probably a little bit outside of your job descriptions, and light rail is a topic that's been discussed in Cincinnati on and off for years, but is that kind of future planning something you all are considering with this project?
Well, really the whole project and the whole concept of the Brent Spence started back in the late 90s. And I like to even go back a little bit because we knew we had an issue with traffic back in the 80s, which was when we restriped the bridge to go from 3 lanes to 4 foot lanes, to 4 lanes, excuse me, 11 foot lanes.
Yeah, and got rid of the emergency lanes as a result.
Exactly. That's right. And we've had a Band-Aid really on the bridge since then. And so there was a major investment study or a big planning study that looked at the whole corridor of 75 from Brent Spence really up to Dayton. And that study also included the concept of light rail and how to handle passenger rail. So a lot of the projects from that big planning study are already done. So the improvements up and down 75 in Cincinnati all the way up into Dayton, a lot of those got their start back in that planning study, just like the Brent Spence project did. So we've picked up the Brent Spence project and moved it forward. The passenger rail aspect of that was a recommendation from the study and could be picked up. We don't have any accommodations on the current bridge or the proposed bridge because that is a structural, you know, there's a lot of structure design that goes into that. And there's a lot of corridor planning that would need to happen to make sure it's in the exact right spot. So, but there's still options around for how to get the railway through there or the passenger rail through. Stacey, you have anything to add on that?
Well, I would, you know, I joke, I've been around the project, you mentioned decades. I've been around the project pretty much since I started with the cabinet. And when we first started looking at the Brent Spence Bridge corridor, it was part of the recognition of the you know, the possibility of where it would be housed or how it could be housed. And it, in the early conversations, we looked at what would be the best location. So if you go back to some of those early studies, the idea was maybe utilizing the Clayweight Bailey.
For light rail?
For light rail, yeah. Just, you know, it obviously, Tommy mentioned, it would be part of a separate project, go through the same planning aspects that you would. But we know that there are multiple crossings of the Ohio River already in place that could be utilized, but not necessarily within the interstate corridor.
Gotcha. Yeah, because the Clayweight Bailey has a railroad bridge that's kind of part of the deal there. So that's really interesting. Well, you both talked about how the current Brent Spence Bridge will remain in use for local traffic, and we'll have emergency lanes put back on there, which is great. But it's been around, I think you mentioned, Tommy, since 1963. That means it's still safe, though. It's still safe and can hold up for years to come. I think that's another question mark some people have.
Yeah, in fact, it's a critical piece for the whole region, as we all very much know. And it's really important to know that the Brent Spence is how we're going to maintain traffic while we're building the new companion bridge. So it's a critical piece of our infrastructure. It's going to be rehabbed. It's already been painted. And Stacey can talk about some of that. But yeah, it's a critical part of the project.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, Tommy mentioned that we're going to keep the existing Brent Spence Bridge in operation until we move over. It's fantastic that we have that opportunity here. We're building a companion bridge and it allows us to maintain traffic as much as possible while we're constructing. Tommy mentioned the existing Brent Spence Bridge will keep it in operation long after we're done building the new companion bridge. There is updates that are part of the project. For those of us that have been around, we were involved in the painting project. That was one of those key maintenance operations that we do to maintain the longevity of the structure. When the time comes, there's a possibility that we'll be able to also build a whole new deck or a whole new driving surface. So we'll pull all of that off, see if there's any steel repairs that need to be taken, and then put the resurface it. But the key point that you made is we're going back with the three lanes. We are going to have those emergency shoulders that haven't been there since the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think that's, the scariest part for for people. When you see a wreck, you're like, uh-oh, there's no place for that person to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot more to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break. And later in the program, what could a U.S. Supreme Court decision mean for Cincinnati's conversion therapy ban? This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the Brent Spence Bridge Corridor Project and what to expect in the months and years ahead. My guests are Ohio Department of Transportation Project Manager Tommy Arnold and Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Project Manager Stacey Hands. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Tommy, help us picture where that companion bridge will be built.
Yeah, so the companion bridge is going to be built just downstream, so just to the west, or if you're coming north on the current bridge, it's going to be just to the left as you come into Cincinnati. And interestingly, when the first bridge was built in 1963, part of Longworth Hall had to be demolished back then, and there was an addition built in the 60s to kind of make up that area. So this bridge actually has also in conflict with part of Longworth Hall. So we are doing that similar type of work again. And as we've kind of talked about, work's already started in the area. And if you haven't been by, the 60s portion of that building has been demolished. But the good news is that we're salvaging the historic bricks there at Longworth Hall, and we'll be rebuilding that eastern end to make the building look like it did originally when it was built back in 1905. So that helps you situate, you know, where is this bridge? It's right by Longworth Hall there, just to the west of the existing bridge.
Yeah. And Stacy, was there much property that had to be acquired or much demolition that had to happen on the Kentucky side for where that bridge will cross the river?
So we did have a couple of commercial relocations. We also had four. If you think about the entirety of the corridor, all 8 miles, and I mentioned earlier trying to reduce and minimize the impacts, for the entirety of the corridor, we had four residential relocations. So when you're in an ultra-urban area, that is an accomplishment. just and a dedication to the project team to reduce those impacts. But yeah, like Tommy mentioned, we're very close to the existing corridor. I joke that if you have a good arm, you could probably throw a baseball from the existing Brent Spence Bridge to the location of the new bridge whenever they're constructed.
Well, that is good to know. I do not have a good arm, so I probably won't be able to, but somebody with a good arm, that's great to know. Yes. Stacey, does this project include new pedestrian and bike paths too? Where will that be in all this, if so?
Yes, absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, that was a commitment by the project team to look at the neighborhood and how we could improve that east-west connectivity, understanding that the interstate runs north and south and has been perceived as a divider. So how we can reconnect those east-west connections, looking at both bicycle and pedestrian facilities. On the Kentucky side, we have two in Fort Wright and Fort Mitchell. The local streets go over top of the interstate. So how we can improve the aesthetics there, really help those communities with their wayfinding or their sense of place, you know, identifying Fort Wright and Fort Mitchell. In Covington, it's the opposite. Those local streets actually run underneath the interstate. So when you're looking at how to improve access from one side to the other, it's not just the improving the sidewalk, but improving the lighting and understanding that we are going to widen the interstate in that area. So it would have only made it darker. So looking at how we can improve the lighting, how we can also provide a sense of place in those areas. We're looking at some aesthetic treatments such as the stone facades, but also in the Covington area, looking at just kind of blank canvases so that they could commission artists or someone to come in and really make it their own, make it their sense of place so that they can, you know, go from one side to the other and really not even think about the interstate above them.
Yeah. What about north-south? Will there be any kind of pedestrian or bike lanes built as part of the project, either on the existing bridge, the companion bridge, or maybe one of the other many bridges that we have?
That's a good question. So we do get it a lot. Are you going to put something on the Brent Spence if you're going to be putting it back to three lanes? And it's just important to know that both bridges are going to be part of the freeway system, the interstate system. But we did have an environmental commitment to look at the Clay Wade Bailey and look for opportunities there. So that is part of our scope of work, is to take a look at that, see what's possible. And we certainly are planning for that as well. In Ohio, kind of as Stacey said, very similar. I'm really excited about the improvements coming to the Cincinnati area. We have a lot of new shared use path facilities. More than 7,000 feet of shared use path are going to be built on the Cincinnati side, with new connections on all those local streets I mentioned before, really, you know, especially at 8th and 9th and 6th Street, we'll have a shared use path to come across, and an enhanced sidewalk at 7th Street. And then similar to what Stacey was talking about there with the, you know, making it feel a little bit more like a local street with decorative improvements. We're going to have a decorative fence along all the bridges over top. And we've worked very closely with the City of Cincinnati. Very thankful for their partnership throughout this whole project, and especially recently as we've gotten into more details, design and construction. And they do such a great job, and I'm really excited with some of the choices and some of the ideas that they've come up with to really enhance that feeling as you go across. So you don't feel like you're on the interstate. You feel like you're on a local street, because you are.
Yeah. Tommy, I know we had some closures earlier this month. What was that for? Can we expect more of that kind of thing?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit earlier that this is much more than the bridge. It's that 8-mile corridor. In Ohio, the northern 2 miles have been broken up into multiple different projects. And that's so that we can do our best and have the most flexibility to tie into the Western Hills Viaduct project. So it gives us that flexibility. The first of those projects has been awarded. It's the Lynn Street project. Great Lakes Construction is the company building that project, whereas the Walsh-Kocosing Joint Venture is the contractor we're working with on the Companion Bridge. That demolition of the Lynn Street Bridge required closures of the interstate. So we will have similar work like that on our project, just a little bit later on in the project schedule.
Mm-hmm. Stacey, will there be road closures that will be needed on the Kentucky side of all this?
Yeah, I think it's important to note on the Kentucky side that we will not be closing the interstate per se, as Tommy mentioned, anytime soon. We're going to keep it open throughout the duration of the project. But what you will see on the Kentucky side is closures to like the ramps to and from Covington, as we're going to be widening the interstate. So we're going to be rebuilding all of those ramps. We've made a commitment as a project team to try to always provide at least one ramp to the northbound, southbound direction in Covington. So you'll always have one way in and one way out. It will change. It will absolutely change throughout the duration of the project. In fact, one of the first activities that you will see on the Kentucky side is the closure of some of those ramps into the Covington area.
When will that kind of thing start?
Oh, I would expect we're going to start some of those activities very soon. I mean, we're looking at this construction season really kicking off as part of this corridor project. So some of the, you will start seeing some of those activities coming up with, you know, in the summer timeframe.
Okay. So stay alert.
Yes.
Keep your eyes peeled for which ramps are open and which are closed. Tommy, what are the next major milestones for the project with so many moving parts? What are you all really looking at?
You know, that's a great question because I feel like all we've been looking for is just to get to the starting line for the last 20 years. That has been the big milestone that we've been excited to get to now. So now we're ready to move forward and build this project that everybody has been waiting for, both states sorely need. So we're excited about that. As Stacy said, things are going to ramp up here this spring and summer. And so we'll start to see a lot of work begin, even work in the river. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be dramatic. It's been a while since we've seen a new bridge constructed, so we're going to see some activity there. As far as the major milestones on the project, the companion bridge is scheduled to open in 2031, which sounds like a long time away, but there's a lot of work to do. And so we'll be working towards that, of course. And then all connections to both bridges, all new connections, open in 33. So those are the major milestones to be aware of. There certainly will be different traffic patterns throughout. And as we've talked about, the website is the best place to go. It's the one source of truth. We have our newsletter, social media, and we'll be sending traffic advisories out that way. So it's very important to check in on the website.
Give us that website address.
Yes, it's BrentSpenceBridgeCorridor.com.
Okay, BrentSpenceBridgeCorridor.com.
Yes.
Everybody bookmark that so they know. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And as far as like if you would provide or if you go to the website, there's an opportunity to sign up for not just the newsletter, but also for text alerts. So that was where people can go to just be up to date with the most current travel advisories, construction information. You know, I highly advise everyone to sign up for that. Even sign up your friends and family because you can just all you have to do is put a phone number in, just so that everyone's aware of the most current and up to date information.
And yeah, those all go to Stacy's personal phone. So I also want to thank her for doing that.
So you said this construction season is going to start. We're really going to notice. Mm-hmm. How are you going to? I guess I wonder how you're going to plan that. Are you trying to do a lot of this during overnight or weekend hours to minimize disruption? What goes into that planning?
Well, the first thing that goes into it is to make sure it's a safe work zone. So that's a safe place for our workers that are going to be working on the project, which, by the way, we are going to have about 700 craft workers on the project as we get into the peaks of the project and maybe even more. So that's a huge opportunity for anybody interested in the construction industry to there's lots of opportunities and it's a chance to build part of the skyline. So a big opportunity there. But safety is the first thing, safety for our workers, for our inspection staff, as well as for the motoring public, of course. And then our goal is to keep those connections open as much as we can. But unfortunately, we've talked about today, we're rebuilding some of those connections. So there will be different traffic patterns. So that's another critical component of all this. It is a complicated area down there. So we'll be communicating sort of like in chunks of time. Here's what's to expect in the next few months and then going on from there instead of trying to explain the whole project over in one shot. So that's what you can expect is what can I look for in the next few weeks, next few months?
Yeah. And I imagine there are just going to have to be traffic disruptions. I mean, you can't do all this without something slowing down along the way.
Yes.
Is that right, Stacey?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Like Tommy mentioned, there'll be times where ramps will be closed. So while we're doing that, of course, we will have detour signs. We'll have traffic diverted to other access points. So as you mentioned, there's going to be it's going to be uncomfortable. I won't say it's going to be a pleasant experience for everyone. It's going to be uncomfortable, but always, you know, trying to keep that the eye on the prize at the end of the day.
Well, and talk about what that prize is, because for those of us who are, you know, maybe thinking about, oh, man, traffic and thinking about the disruptions and the construction, what is the bigger picture when you think about that prize? What will this project's impact be once it's completed?
Okay. Well, you know, it's something that we've been looking for a long time because we've had a Band-Aid there. And even in spite of that, there's $1 billion of freight that goes over the bridge every day. But we feel the pain. It's one of the worst trucking bottlenecks in the country. It was number two for a long time. It's still in the top 10. So we can expect a more reliable system because sometimes it's, you know, everybody looks at their phone, what's going on today? So it'll be a more reliable system. And it'll be certainly less traffic. We've talked a lot today about all the local improvements. I think that those are going to be critical and so exciting to see as they help reshape, you know, both cities and provide opportunities for new developments and opportunities there.
Right. And, Tommy mentioned the reliability of the network because it is, you know, it's a major freight corridor. We have a lot of freight that goes through this, but it's also a major connection. As someone who lives in Northern Kentucky and travels to Cincinnati, I love that there it's the reliability of that network, but also the safety. You know, this we're improved safety at first and foremost. That is one of the core purpose and needs of the project. And that's what, if we're talking about the eye on the prize, at the end of the day, that's what both KYTC and ODOT are committed to. It's improving the safety of the corridor.
Well, I have been talking with Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Project Manager Stacy Hands and Ohio Department of Transportation Project Manager Tommy Arnold. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Up next, what could a U.S. Supreme Court decision mean for Cincinnati's conversion therapy ban? This is Cincinnati Edition.